So what's up, man? What are you doing?
What am I literally doing?
Yeah.
I'm literally driving from Grand Rapids to Lansing.
Ooh, how far is that?
Post practice. It's about an hour.
Okay. You're doing that every day?
No, just occasionally. We just moved into a new house, so I'm going back to help Christina with some stuff.
So yeah, I mean, I'll get right into it. And I'll ask you more questions about that because I'm curious about your journey in the D League and your thoughts on all that. At Jordan Morgan's wedding, I've been trying to convince you to come over to Israel, but I understand why you're in the States and your journey to the D League. Why have you chosen the D League for so many years? It seems like, a very much of a grinded out league. I mean, overseas can be the same way. But is there something that attracts you with the D League or, like being close to home? What is it that has kept you on this path for so long?
It's definitely. Well, first, I don't want you to get sued. It's the G League now.
Oh my
Gatorade
God, I
bought
always
it.
screw that up.
No, you're good. A lot of people
Yeah.
do that shit. But it's a little bit of all of that. So yeah, being close to home is nice. More so in the sense that I can still run my business and still do the things I need to do on that end. And I mean, I am a very family-oriented person, and it's nice to be in my home state. While at the same time, it's great to connect with NBA coaches and GMs, and I see it as a huge just networking opportunity. The years that I've spent here, a bunch of my coaches are NBA coaches. I know a bunch of, NBA front office people as a result of my time here, and I just feel like these are good relationships to have. They're good people to know, and it's fun. I mean, and I still do have fun doing it.
So explain for the people who are listening, who, what is Blueprint to you? Kind of the summarization of the company, and where did this all start? What is your why behind it?
Blueprint is a basketball and strength development habit, strength and habit development app where you put the accountability on the players themselves, essentially, provide them with structured workouts for basketball. We have the weightlifting, we have at home lifts if you don't like want to lift in the weight room or you don't have access. And players can take these workouts, and they're structured by Mike Morrison. Does the at-home strength conditioning, and he used to be strength coach at Indiana. He worked at Stanford, and he worked for the Atlanta Hawks. John Sanderson does the in the weight room stuff, and obviously, John Well from your time at
Yep.
Michigan. And then I do the basketball type stuff, and it's shit I've just picked up from. All my coaches along the way. And it's just very fundamentally sound workouts, no gimmicks, no bullshit, short clips that just show you exactly what each drill is supposed to be, stat tracking features so you can track your percentages over time. Same with weightlifting so you can keep track of like your weights and your sets and your reps and all that. And I mean, the idea behind it is just you don't need. You don't need a trainer necessarily. You don't need a coach. You don't need anybody if you want to get better. You have this resource to help you get better and provide you with workouts that will definitely get you better.
That's great. I love the idea because I pay for a trainer when I come home just because I can afford it.
Yeah.
And I like the guidance. But so, it's not, it's expensive. And a lot of times, I won't schedule a full week of workouts because I don't want to pay for a full week of workouts. And I know that I can do workouts on my own. But it's still, if I, I'm going to check out the app actually because with the guidance like that, you always need that accountability, whether it's self-accountability. If you're just kind of going on the fly, I mean, even if you just have something in your face, like a little short video, a little plan on on an app, I mean, it helps immensely just because of who, what, we are as humans. I mean, we're just that type of creature. So I think I always love the idea, and I'm really excited to see it grow. I mean, on Instagram. I mean, where can we find it on Instagram? On in it's in the App Store, correct? And I don't know what's
It's in the App Store, it's in the Google Play Store, it's under
Google Play. Okay.
Blueprint Athletes, and Instagram, it's under it's blueprint.athletes. Or if you just type in Blueprint Athletes, it'll pop up. It's like a blue ball with a little orange slice painted into it. We have like a little bit over 8,000 followers, but our following's growing. It's growing pretty fast, and our engagement on videos is going up a lot too. We have really good engagement. So that community is good, and just finding ways to continue to grow and engage and teach and just to interact with kids and coaches and trainers who are trying to get better and help other people out.
Where have you seen it grow the most? Like within high school kids? Or your engagement, I guess.
My engage with the engagement, it's I mean you can we can look at the analytics and see like where it's growing, and I would say probably the most, probably with high school kids.
That's good.
And that's our, I mean, that's, yeah, that's really our target market,
Yeah.
or one of our target markets is like, middle school and high school kids. Those are the kids who, need it the most and we're hoping will use it the most.
And they spread everything like wildfire.
And we actually, I've been working the last few months on securing this, an investment to really start putting some like big dollars into marketing. So that's what we're going to be doing this spring and summer. So hopefully that gives us, a big boost too.
That's dope, man. No, I'm really happy for you with that. You have to keep me updated on what's going on with it this summer.
No, I appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, man.
Appreciate that.
I'm getting to the point now where I'm thinking about my post career. I mean, have you obviously have started to think about that with Blueprint Athletes. And is there anything more to that? Have you thought about doing something else, or kind of what's been stewing in Horford's brain? Because I know there's always something stewing up there.
Always. I mean, if I could get things going, like really, really going with Blueprint to the level where I want them to, where I mean, I'm already putting full-time hours into it, but to the point where financially it's worth it to like throw all my eggs in that
Sure.
basket. I mean, I would totally do that, but at the same time, part of me still wants to play. And then I have like my coaches with my team this year asked if I would want to come and coach next year, because I told them
Wow.
that if I didn't get a call up, that I was probably going to retire. And they said, if you retire, you should come back and coach. And I was just like, and deal with these fucking assholes that you guys have to deal with.
It's already bad enough in the locker room. Like,
Dude, seriously, like how they don't motherfuck these dudes more, I don't know. Like, I don't fucking know. Just, I mean, and a lot of times, I mean, they are like kids fresh out of college,
oh,
like,
yeah.
and they didn't go to like a Michigan, so nobody ever held them accountable, and they literally act like fucking children, and you just want to punch them in the
Oh, the
face.
young ones are the worst, man.
Dude, fucking horrible, entitled little bastards.
I had a coach this year, and I swear to God, his first two sentences were basically like, "Yeah, I see you fitting this team. I want to sign a lot of young guys and play young." And immediately, I mean, he talked for like another 30 more minutes, but he lost me in the first 30 seconds. I was like, no way in hell am I playing for you."
Fuck that shit. That shit sucks.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I'm always looking for teams with veterans, but it's tough in the G League. I mean, how many veteran guys do you guys have on your team?
We have a lot more now. We started off like super young, super inexperienced, like horrible, horrible. Now we have like Marcus Thornton came in, Kalen Lucas came in, Isaiah Whitehead came in. So we started adding some more vets. Adam Woodbury came in from Iowa. So it got
Is that a
better
common
this
theme
year
among
on.
as the season goes on in the G League? You get guys that they add, I try and start young and see where guys are going to go and like kind kind of flesh out prospects, and then the team gets older as the year goes on and guys come back from overseas? Does that happen typically?
Definitely. Guys come back from overseas, or guys are just chilling at home and they know they don't have to do anything for like the first like six to eight weeks of the G League season. And then they try to jump on like after that point to try to get a call up or an overseas contract or, you know, whatever.
Gotcha. All right, I'm going to get into a few questions, maybe like 15 more minutes, if that's cool.
Yeah, dude, I have time, man. I have all the time.
Okay. I'm, if you can't tell, I'm like stuffed up. My nose and my head, I'm dying, so I'm trying to go to sleep here pretty soon. But
yep.
I'm like the first time I've been sick in a while, but I need some sleep. Okay, I'm going to get into some, I guess, Michigan stuff, and then we'll just kind of see where it goes. What do I have written down here? Oh, okay. I'll start with this. One of the things that I always think about when I think of you is your hacky sack, first of all. Okay, so in Michigan, you always have the hacky sack, right? I don't know. I guess being from Indiana, and I don't know, Hicktown, USA, like hacky sack was not a big thing. But I remember, I think it was a conversation I had with you where I was asking you about hacky sack, and you just kind of pulled out your pocket and you're like, do you want a hacky right now? And I was like, do you always have that on you? Like, you just came from class. He's like, yes, you have. I'm pretty sure you're like, yeah, you never know when a hacky session is about to break out.
It's true.
Do you still carry it on you?
Yeah, I always have one in my backpack.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I always carry a backpack. Yeah,
Jams, you never know. The Jamsport?
Dude, the crazy part is I still have my fucking... I still have my backpack from when we were in fucking college.
That's a resilient backpack.
Dude, it is. It is. It has some holes in it. I should probably get a new one.
No, you just patch it up.
Oh, just patch it up. You're right. More character that way.
Hold on. Do you hacky with any of the guys on your team?
I mean, they all, like, if they see it, I haven't pulled it out this year just because I don't really hang out with these guys.
Okay.
That much, but if I pulled it out, like, they would definitely want to play at least once, but they'd be fucking annoying, and I'm not trying to deal with it, so I keep it tucked away around them.
Yeah, I respect that. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What's your record with hacky?
Record?
I mean, is there, like, a keep-up record that you have with, like, a group?
Oh, keep-up record? I don't know, probably a couple hundred.
Goodness gracious. Do you have a favorite hacky trick? These are all off the cuff, by the way. I've just gotten into a hacky.
Dude, yeah, these are great. These are great. A favorite trick. I really like the stalls, the foot stalls and the face stalls and side foot stalls.
I feel like I can perfectly picture you doing those stalls, like you showing me those, especially the forehand ones.
Yeah, I'm a fan. They're pretty simple. But they get, like, people get pretty hype about them.
Yeah.
And it's also a little easier because I have gigantic feet.
Yes.
So.
Yep, that is very true.
But I do like the stalls.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to have to see that again. Yeah, I vividly remember it in the locker room. It's hilarious. Yeah,
I should have broke it out this summer at TBT.
Oh, 100%. That was a mistake right in the club.
That was. That's why we lost.
That and my hangover.
And yeah, that and everyone got hurt. And
yes.
You were hungover. Yeah.
maybe next year.
I think I'd rather die than play TBT again.
Yeah. I'm trying to pump myself up for it, man. But there has to be a good team. Okay. I want to get into a little bit of your transfer because I've never asked you about it. I've always been curious.
Yeah, you can get an honest answer right here.
There we go. I mean, first, I just want to start out. Just from the basic decision standpoint, like, was it how easy or difficult of a decision was it for you to go to Florida, and what other schools were you considering?
Dude, unfortunately, my top three were it was Florida, then Iowa State, then Notre Dame. Damn. The other two would have been great. Florida was a fucking nightmare, but I'm glad I went just because Donovan, like, broke us down so much that I knew that I would never go through something that, like, fucked up with another coach. So going forward, I was like, no matter what situation I get put in, it's not going to be as fucked up as Donovan's last year at Florida.
Damn, what made it that bad?
he was a fucking psychopath.
Like
he's a
conditioning
psychopath.
or just
Well, conditioning. He ran us into the ground.
Jesus.
But then, like, just some shit. He tried to do some, like, some psychological type shit. You know me. I'm not a religious person at all.
Yeah.
And so I just prefer to not say anything during these, like, religious type meetings he was having with the team and a pastor.
Fuck.
And then he was, like, forced. He's like, well, it's like, if you don't say anything, then, you know, you don't care about the team. And you think you're better than the other guys. And I'm like, dude, do you really want me to talk?
That's
He's
some
like,
bullshit.
Yes. And I'm just like, all right, dude. And I talked, and like, dude, after like a month, he was just like, I was like, you're the one who told me to talk. And he was like, and I wish you would just shut the fuck up. Like, I was just like, yo, fuck you, dude. Like, I didn't want to talk. I didn't want to talk.
I mean,
he's like threatening me essentially. Like, he's not saying, like, oh, I'm not going to play you, I'm going to bench you. But he's saying, like, oh, you don't care about the team and you think you're better than the guys. And, I mean, what does that lead to, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, dude, like, he just, yeah. And he did, and he suspended me that year for, we had guys failing drug tests, fucking cheating on, fucking getting her homework done for him, like, you know, all that type of shit.
And you got,
like,
suspended?
And dude, and he suspended me for talking to one of my teammates on the bench at the end of a game.
What?
Yes. And I told him, because my teammate literally reached over to me and he was like, hey, John, he's like, I bet he's going to miss this free throw. And I was like, I bet you $20 he makes it. And he made it. And I'm like, ha ha ha. And then he like calls me in the next day and is like, what the fuck is this? And they have like that clip. And I was just like, are you fucking joking?
Jesus.
And I was like, dude, that's nothing. I was like, I'm not going to say anything. I was like, if he wants to say, like, because I didn't want to throw that kid under the bus. He was a freshman. I didn't want to throw him under the bus. I was like, I'm not saying anything. I was like, if he wants to talk, he can talk. But I was like, I'm not saying a goddamn word. So then the kid came in, was bawling his eyes out, scared as fuck.
Of course, yeah.
Told him exactly what happened. I was like, all right, well, you know what happened? And he's like, yeah, that's unacceptable. He's like, we're going to suspend you. I was just like,
for
betting, right,
for what? Like, what was...
For supporting my teammate, apparently.
Holy shit.
Dude, yeah.
Wait, you can't talk to a teammate? I don't understand. That's so...
Dude, he was like, oh, you're betting during a game on your team. And I was just like, I was like, the kid literally told you that I said that I thought that our teammate was going to make the shot. I was like, you're going to suspend me for that? Like, get the fuck out of here, you power-tripping bastard.
Did Al say he was like this, or did you talk to him about Donovan at all?
Al doesn't really give a fuck. Al doesn't give a fuck.
I mean, I respect that, but...
Yeah, nah, in a weird, creepy way, not in a respectable way. Like,
okay.
No, it's not respectable.
No,
it's not respectable. I know you, Stu. You wouldn't respect it.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you do know.
But
me.
Yeah, it was strange. But after getting out of it, and then they made me see this pastor for like a month after to become reinstated to the team. I had to meet with this guy like twice a week. They know I'm not religious, and they're like trying to force religion on me. And I'm just like, dude, like, if it didn't work when I was 10, it's not going to fucking work now. Can we stop this? And like, that was the only way for me to get back on the team. So I had to meet with this fucking like self-certified guidance counselor / pastor twice a week to get reinstated back on the team.
I don't even, this is like one of the weirdest things I've ever heard. I mean, I know, like, obviously Beilein is religious and, you know, had, Catholic priest come in, I think maybe a couple times. And we had like a team chaplain or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing to this degree. I've never heard of anything to this degree. And I didn't really know Donovan was a psycho. But I mean, once you're that successful and you've been power hungry for that long, I guess it's kind of an inevitable growth.
Yeah, Donovan.
But that's just bizarre.
Yeah, he was on the way out, like, there the whole year. All the guys, like, we all, like, oh, they're here to see one of us. No, they're there for Donovan the whole time. This dude knew he was leaving. Like, he didn't give a fuck. Like, we lost a crazy amount of games by a single possession that year. Like, it was just like, it was a fucked up year. It was, I didn't really realize what I was getting into. He sold that he was going to have my back so heavily. And it's something that I never really felt like I had with Coach B. And I was just like, dude, I believe you, man. Like, he did such a good job selling it, and he was so fucking full
of crazy.
So absolutely full of fucking shit. Like, I went above and fucking beyond there. Not that I didn't at Michigan, like, looking at, like, you know, trying to do things the right way and working hard and all that shit. But at Florida, like, I went above and beyond to look out for those guys and to do all the right things and to set a good example. And Donovan, dude, just fucking drug me through the mud, like, every single fucking opportunity he could get.
Wow. I mean, yeah. It is pretty appropriate. Yeah. He looks like the prototypical schmarmy car salesman.
Oh, and he is. He is. God, he is.
It's God. Funny how these coaches put on these kind of faces and these personas, and the outside looking in from the fans' perspective. And it's like, no, man, they'll sell you on this shit in a heartbeat. They don't give a fuck. Like, they will sell you on this and then not deliver and then be confused as why you don't want to follow them into the future. And it's like, this happens everywhere. And recruitment it's poison in a lot of ways. It's set up to fail like this. And it's a terrible system. And I don't know how to fix it, but it's something I always talked about with college basketball. It's one of the worst processes I could ever go through. My recruitment in high school was just horrible. I never want to relive something like that again.
Yeah, it's a fucking nightmare.
So you were considered Iowa State and Notre Dame. I mean, were there any Big Ten schools that you considered, or was some of the restrictions that Beilein had in the transfer within the Big Ten, did that ever dissuade you?
No, I had enough respect for Beilein, but when he asked me to not even consider any Big Ten schools, I didn't consider any. I don't remember which ones called. A couple of them did call, and I just totally was just like, you know, out of respect for Coach Beilein, like, I'm not even gonna gotcha. Think about it. Yeah, it's an interesting chapter. Now, wait, did you actually want to talk about why I left?
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. The main reason why I left. You remember how Coach Beilein used to make us do all of those, the shit to the hikes, pretzels, the 17s, yeah, all the tests.
Yeah. Before we could practice, yeah.
Right? Before we could practice, right? He never, that last year, not only did he not make Mitch do any of those, like, the dude didn't even practice. And at Iowa State, he decided that he wanted to play. So at the time I had been starting and playing, and he just was like, hey John, I'm gonna play Mitch, and kind of fuck you. I was just like, okay, that's a little fucked up, like, going against your rules, right, like that. And then Mitch wasn't ready, came back too soon, was playing way too many minutes, yep, got hurt, sat the rest of the year, continued on, whatever, we had a good year. And I just couldn't get over, like, the, because I mean, I trusted him, and I just could not get past it. And I was just like, look, I don't think I can come back and risk him, like, fucking me over for my last year. And then just being like, oh, well, you were kind of a dumbass, and you never left. But with that being said, like, Bakari had told me, he was like, look, he's like, we still want you to come back. He's like, you can still come back. He's like, we'd like to have you. And I was just like, all right, that's fine. I mean, I was like, if you guys want to come talk to me, I was like, I literally lived where you used to live. Like, wait, not you. Wait, did you live there? Or was it just Zach?
No, yeah, Zach and I and Josh.
Yeah, exactly. So it's right down the street. Like,
2 minutes.
Dude, yeah. He never fucking, no one ever came. So I was just like, all right. I mean, if you don't care enough to stop by, like, there's literally, like, and that's the other thing. So Donovan, literally, like, I announced my transfer, and this dude flew up, damn, like, the next day. Like, So I was like, dude, I'm like, yeah, he's fucking serious. So, like, in my mind, I was like, damn, he's serious. I'm like, and Coach fucking B's right down the street. And this dude literally wouldn't talk to me for, like, years afterwards. Like the assistant coaches wouldn't, like, I still haven't talked to Jeff Meyer. I talked to Laval once.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm just like, all you motherfuckers had to do was come, like, if they would have just stopped by, like, I probably would have came back, in all honesty. But no one stopped by, so I was like, all right, see ya.
It's such a weird position to be in, where you can give so much value, and then they're always looking for your replacement, you know?
Dude, exactly. Like, and if they really, but if they care, they'll show it. Like, I remember when the story that sticks out to me is when DJ Wilson was about to leave school, he went back home, which was like fucking like Seattle or Washington or some shit. And Coach Beilein flew out there to try to convince him to come back to Michigan. I was like,
That's my point.
Like, if he really cared that much, he would have drove the 2 minutes down the street to the apartment where he knows where I fucking live. Right. Like, he would have drove there and just been like, hey, John, like, look, man, like, I know I was a fucking dick and I went against my own rules, but, like, we'd really like to have you back. And I would have came back. But the dude wouldn't even drive. And then he fucking flew across the country to get DJ. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's
not. Nah, it makes you feel like shit, man. Like,
it's like, but I mean, yeah, but it just is sure. What it is. Like, every time I see him, he's, oh, man, he's like, you cost us our streak of going to the NCAA tournament because we had such a bad year that year, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you should have came back. And I was like, dude, you should have just drove down the fucking street. He says that to me every single fucking time we see each other, which is like
a year. It's like trying to be like, playful, but then it still just pisses you off.
Yeah, because it's a fucking lie. It's a fucking lie. Like, dude, you're full of shit. I'd rather you just be like, just don't say anything. Yes. Just, hey, John, how's it going? Like, yeah.
I'm very much with you on that. Like, with college basketball in particular, they preach the team attitude, right? You have to be for the team. And then it's like, okay, but we know that you guys have favorites, okay? And we know that you guys like, you know, players more than others, which is fine. But you're going to have me sell out for you when you don't really even like me that much. Like, it's very difficult when you're very aware. Like, it's easier to be dumb and just lost in it all. I wish that I was a little dumber at times so I could be a little better at basketball and have a better outlook. But it's like, man, this is a business and you're trying to treat me like a family member, but you're scorning me. I'm like a family member scorned, and you want me to give everything for you? No way.
Yeah, no, it's fucking bullshit, bro. It's such a corrupt system.
Do you talk to any of the coaching staff? Do you talk to BA ever?
I talk to BA all the time. Yeah. I've never really stopped talking to BA. I didn't talk to the other. I don't talk to Meyer. I don't talk to Laval. And like I said, I talked to Coach B like probably like twice a year.
Where? What is BA doing?
Nothing. He's getting ready to sell his soul again and come back to college basketball.
Yeah, I've been wondering if he was going to do that.
You should talk to him about. I wonder if he'll tell you his story. What happened at Detroit?
Oh my God, I'm so curious about that. But there's no way if he's about to sell his soul again, he'd have to find a different job. Or, you know how it is. He's got to walk the company line.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah, because people are like, oh, you can't say that shit. And I'm like, I mean, okay, but
the
like,
fuck out of here.
I understand like verbal abuse, and then like just telling someone a one-off, like, you know, like dude, fuck. Dude, that's like, it's just like saying fuck you. Like, it's not even the telling me that kid is scarred. Like, get the fuck out of here.
All the time. Dude, even Coach B had said shit as bad.
Yeah, like the same effect. I mean, it's just like, why are the words? What matters about the words? I mean, maybe there's something about domination there, like that's a little different. But it's, I don't know. I mean, this is not something new. So I'm not saying it's like I condone it, but it's not. I mean, to get fired over it is a little odd.
No, if you fire him, then you have to fire everyone who's done it. And that means fucking Izzo's gone, Crean's
Oh, yeah.
gone, Coach K's gone, fucking all those motherfuckers are gone.
All
They're
gone.
all gone. They're all fucking gone. It sucks, dude, because BA, he's a good dude. He's a good
He is.
basketball coach. He had inherited some fucking horrible kids. I went to a couple of his practices. I was like, BA, how do you deal with these kids? This fucking
Yeah.
respectful little fucking entitled bastards who thought they were God's gift and they would have gotten beat by the fucking caramel cookies. Like, dude, seriously, like just fucking garbage.
Sometimes you just get dealt those bad cards with a program like that.
Dude, and that's why part of me is just like, dude, I can't get into coaching, dude. I
No,
can't. Fuck
same.
that shit. Having to deal with those little fucks.
And you have to like sell out to yourself. Like I'm not trying to sell a kid that I really don't even believe in and like sell them bullshit. Like I don't want to sell somebody bullshit and be like, yo, this is gonna suck, so deal with it.
Yeah, you literally, yeah, you have to fucking suck off these fucking, oh, fuck that. Yeah, no, I
I
don't know
don't
how people
either.
do
I mean,
it.
I guess the money's good enough, so they'll keep coming back for it. But I mean, that's the story of everything in America,
Yeah, dude, well, fuck, yeah, fuck that too. Dude, everyone seems to have a fucking
Oh, yeah.
price. I like the people who don't have a fucking price. Like, I know it's like the bad guys, like the fucking, like the fucking Joker in The Dark Knight, just fucking light the fucking pile of money on fire. Like, I don't have
Nope.
a
I
price.
live on
Fuck you.
principle.
Like,
Eat shit.
dude, I fuck with
Yep.
it. Exactly.
Yep. That's why the Dark Knight, that's why Joker is my favorite on that.
No, Joker is amazing. You know another amazing bad guy that, gets a bad rap?
Oh yeah,
Thanos.
100%.
Dude, I think what he's doing is
It's the most
admirable.
admirable bad guy in all of bad guy universe.
Dude, literally, he has all the power in the world. And what's he doing at the end of that movie? Like, he's chilling in like a cabin, like remote. He's not like on a throne, like as like an overlord. He's just like away from everything, just trying to achieve like an artificial balance, but a balance nonetheless. I mean, I fuck with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, and I'm totally with him. I mean, world population's a little nutty.
Yeah,
Don't like people. I mean, I
exactly.
can get rid of half the people in my life. I'd be fine.
Dude, exactly. And it's
Yeah,
random.
so
Like,
it's not
so
like
good for
he's not playing
you.
favorites here. It's just a random.
No, he's not playing favorites at all. Dude, it's fair. And unless people are gonna stop being selfish fucking bastards and everybody's gonna help everybody, because there is more than enough to go
Completely.
around, but people feel the need to fucking hoard. I mean, and that's that. Like, there is enough to go around. And like Thanos is saying, you can't fucking trust people to make those decisions themselves, so I'm gonna make them
Yeah, no,
hoard.
I agree. It's one of our biggest downfalls of humanity, the hoarding of resources. It
Fucking
does
sucks,
suck, but it's
man.
survival. That's what we've been learning since the day we've been hoarding food for survival. So it's the same fucking bullshit, just repeated in different, I don't know, environments. So annoying.
Is that.
All right, man. I'm gonna have to get you back on so we can talk life.
Well, we do need to talk life still. We do
I
need to
think I'm gonna
talk
try and come
life.
up to Michigan this summer, though. So I'll hit you up, but I'm gonna hit you up before that anyways.
All right,
I
bro.
appreciate
Sounds
the
good,
interview,
man.
my guy. Really, really appreciate it. Super
Dude,
good.
anytime, man. Always
Yeah,
great to
man.
catch up.
Okay. I'll let you
Always
know
great to catch up.
when it's up and stuff. Are you even on Twitter or anything?
I'm not on Twitter, but I'm on
Okay.
Instagram.
I'm still trying to I'll figure it out. I'll let you know one way or the other.
All right,
Okay,
bro.
dude.
Sounds good.
Okay, talk to you
Rest
later.
up.
Peace.